If we lose this cultural war, we're going to have a hedonistic, humanistic society.
Discover the story of the culture warrior, Don Wildman, and how he went head-to-head with Hollywood, Playboy, the homosexual agenda, and the Disney empire. The movement Don started paved the way for Christians to boldly stand for truth and righteousness in a hostile culture. Watch Culture Warrior today for free. Visit culturewarrior.movie.
Welcome to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Well, good morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. Hope you are having a good Monday morning. We had Father's Day yesterday, and that's, I always tell our church, it's one of the greatest days on the calendar because dads are so important, and a little tongue-in-cheek, but it is a fun day and a special day for dads and to honor our dads. Everybody's been talking about Israel, Israel and Iran. There was a war, and as we talked about it on Friday, a war began as Israel made a preemptive strike against Iran for their nuclear pursuits to develop a nuclear weapon to destroy Israel. That's what they want to do. They want to destroy America and destroy Israel. They have one agenda. That's it. In Islam, and especially the Iranian version of Islam. And so I thought it was appropriate today to start the program with Matthew 24, the words of Jesus. I've been in a series on Matthew 24 and 25 at First Baptist Texarkana, and we are coming up on sermon number 8. I'm in chapter 25 this coming Sunday, talking about the parable of the talents, and then we finish up with the parable of the sheep and the goats. But this is what Jesus said when he was asked by the disciples, as he was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately. We learn it was Peter, James, John, and Andrew, saying, "Tell us, when will these things happen, and what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?" And Jesus answered and said to them, "See to it that no one misleads you. For many will come in my name, saying, 'I am the Christ,' and will mislead many. You will be hearing of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not frightened, for those things must take place, but that is not yet the end. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and in various places there will be famines and earthquakes. But all these are merely the beginning of birth pangs." Birth pangs come, and the birth pains, they come when the baby is getting ready to be delivered. And they increase in frequency and intensity the closer you are to the baby coming into the world, leaving his or her mother's womb and coming into the world. So I love it that Jesus said, "Don't be afraid. See that you are not frightened." Now, I think if we lived in Israel, it would be hard not to be frightened, especially when you're getting bombed. I looked up to see, you know, we've had a number of people that have gotten killed in Israel in this war. It seems like Iran targets civilians. Israel targets those senior military leaders and nuclear scientists, people that are causing, you know, the most harm. They don't just willy-nilly start bombing, you know, apartment buildings, but they've taken out at least 19, according to AI, at least 19 military leaders, 10 plus military leaders, and 9 nuclear scientists have passed away, been killed as a result of this conflict, and Iran has attacked and killed and injured many Israelis. So we need to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And we need to remember that Jesus did say this was going to happen. We would be hearing of wars and rumors of wars. And I know people get concerned. And as President Trump has said to Iran, "Hey, listen, you attack America and we're going to rain down the apocalypse on your head, because we didn't have anything to do with this. We knew it was getting ready to take place, but we didn't do it." So, you know, that I think President Trump will support Israel. You know, the Lord has made it clear, I will bless those who bless you, and those who curse you, I will curse. And so we need to stand with Israel and pray for the peace of Jerusalem, as the Bible says. But as I shared on Friday morning, all eyes on Israel. We need to be very abreast of what's going on as they fight Hamas, as they fight Iran. And Joel Rosenberg was on Jenna's program this morning talking about that. I reached out to Mike Huckabee to see if I could get Mike to come on the program this week to talk for a few minutes. Mike is the ambassador to Israel, as many know. And he is there, and he's at the embassy. He did say that the embassy had a little bit of damage, but nothing too major. So we need to pray for Mike and Janet and all the people there, because it is a scary time, and you have to remind yourself in scary times that the Lord said, see that you are not frightened, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith. How do you fight fear in your life? You fight it by keeping your eyes fixed on Jesus. It says in Psalm 29, the Lord sat as king at the flood. Yes, the Lord sits as king forever. He is the sovereign God who is over all things. As Jesus said, a sparrow doesn't even fall to the ground unless God allows that, unless he okays it. He is over all things. Well, also in the news that people are talking about, that you no doubt have heard about, the attack by the deranged, unstable man in Minnesota, targeted shootings in Minnesota that came on Saturday, June 14th, 2 o'clock in the morning. This guy goes to a representative's house, Hoffman, a senator, and shoots at their house, and they are injured, this man and his wife. They protected their children. And then he goes from there to 3:35 a.m. to the Hortman's house, and the Hortman, Representative Melissa Hortman and her husband Mark, and then it was a state senator, John Hoffman, and his wife Yvette. They were injured, but Melissa Hortman and her husband Mark were killed, and they went after the shooter, Vance Bolter, if I'm pronouncing his name correctly, and he allegedly impersonated a police officer. He had a fake uniform. He had an SUV that resembled a police vehicle with emergency lights, and he fired at police when he had his standoff with the police, and he escaped from the Hortman home on foot. Well, he's been apprehended. And we just need to pray for that situation. You know, Jesus goes on to say in Matthew 24, because lawlessness is increased, most people's love will grow cold. And we're seeing that, an increase in lawlessness and the fact that people's love has grown cold. And life is cheap, especially in the Middle East. Life is so cheap. You know, with the Muslims in Gaza, Hamas, and the regime in Iran and other places that surround Israel, they don't dislike death. As Hamas, their motto, we love death as much as you love life. I mean, how sick and twisted is that? I think about John 10:10, when Jesus said the thief comes only to steal and to kill and to destroy. And so my opinion, you see the devil's fingerprints all over Islam and the religion of Islam. And I've had people call me out, how dare you say things like that? Well, listen, there is the truth, there is true north, and there's everything else that's not true north. So there is the truth, 2 + 2 = 4, doesn't equal 3, it doesn't equal 5, it doesn't equal 3.9, it doesn't equal 4.1, it equals 4. So any other answer you put on 2 + 2, it's either right, 4.0, or it's wrong. And the devil never ceases, Acts 13, he never ceases to make crooked the straight paths of the Lord. He is a liar and the father of lies. And his lies are very plausible. They sound so good. As Charles Spurgeon said, the discernment is not discerning between good and evil. It's being able to discern between right and almost right. because that's how the devil works with almost right. He's just a little off. As I've told you before, the aviation rule, 1 in 60 rule, for 1 degree that a pilot is off his flight plan, every 60 miles he travels, just 1 degree off flight plan, you're a mile from your destination. Now, that might not seem too terrible if you're just going 60 miles, although you're a mile away, but it's really terrible the longer you go. And as I've stated before, that's the difference between flying from JFK and you hope to land at LAX and you land in the ocean and crash. So we need to be discerning. Hebrews 5:14, solid food is for the mature who because of practice have their senses trained to discern between good and evil. You know what true north is because you are feasting on the Word of God. You know what God has to say. You're looking at the world from a biblical lens, and you're not being blown about, as it says in Ephesians 4, by every wind of doctrine. And that's why Christians and pastors especially were to speak the truth in love so that people can be rooted and grounded in the truth. Now, I have a theory. When you see all these protests, you know, we had the No Kings protests that took place around the country. According to AI, there were 2 million or millions of people involved in 2,000 of these protests around the country, the No Kings protest, and they're protesting against Donald Trump. They didn't like the fact that he had the celebration for the 250th anniversary of the Army and a big parade and big fireworks display, and I thought it was really beautiful, but they hated it, and so they had their No Kings protests. Incidentally, the shooter for in Minnesota, that man Vance Bolter, he had a bunch of No Kings flyers in his car, the No Kings protest. But this is what Donald Trump said. Typical Donald Trump. He's got a great sense of humor. So he tweeted out this: a huge thank you to all the No Kings protesters yesterday. I was very concerned a king was trying to take my place. But thanks to you, your tireless efforts, I am still your president. Great job, all. And don't you know that just burns up the liberals that hate his guts, that have TDS to the nth degree? I mean, they're against Trump. As I've told you before, if Trump said it's good to breathe clean air and drink clean water, they'd be against it. But here's the thing that I've come across. The reason that you have so many on the left that mobilize and protest and they're willing to do anything to go against what they don't like, you know, and they don't, like I said, anything Trump does, they don't like. But you have trouble on the conservative side getting that same kind of mobilization and what you have on the liberal side. I mean, it's deranged mobilization. It's professional, many of them, professional protesters. Like that would be a job. That's just insane. And you have, from all indications, you have some liberal fat cats like George Soros that fund this kind of stuff. But here's the reason that, and this isn't true in every case, but I think it's a general truth. Conservatives, so many of them, trust in God, and liberals, so many of them, trust in government. And so when you trust in God, you're less likely to get all bent out of shape over things because you know God is in control. And sometimes you have to remind yourself, well, God is in control, but I have to, as it says in Luke 19, occupy until he comes. I need to be busy, as it says in Jeremiah 29, verse 6 or 7, I have to seek the welfare of the city, just as the exiles who had been taken from Jerusalem to Babylon were told, hey, plant yourself in the community there in Babylon and seek for the welfare of the city, because in its welfare you find your welfare. We need to remember that. We need to be actively involved. But listen, if you don't have a worldview where God is king, then you don't trust in God, you're trusting in government. And you will fight tooth and nail for the things that you think are right, but you don't have your eyes on Jesus, so there's no fear of God before your eyes, And the beginning of wisdom, the beginning of knowledge is what? The fear of the Lord. And if you don't have the fear of the Lord, as I've said before, it's like buttoning the first button on your shirt. If you miss that first button, no matter how well you do the rest, it's going to be off. And that's what we're seeing in America today. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here, and we are up against a break, but we'll be right back. Don't go away. Preborn is there for hurting mothers and at-risk babies, standing strong in the darkest corners of our nation. By sponsoring an ultrasound, you can be there too. One ultrasound is just $28 and doubles a baby's chance at life. Please donate your best gift to save more babies at preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here, and we're talking about what went on over the weekend. Obviously, big deal, and we need to be praying for the peace of Jerusalem and with the war between Israel and Iran, and that that would come to an end. I have stated many times that all, in my opinion, all Islam knows is strength. And that's a smash mouth religion. That's a believe or die religion. And all they know is strength. So if you don't stand up to them and punch the bully, they will keep coming and keep coming and keep coming. And if you think you can negotiate with people who lie through their teeth, because they think it's okay to lie to you if they're, you know, the end justifies the means. And what are the ends they have in mind? Well, to annihilate you. You're an infidel if you're not on board with Allah being the only God and Muhammad is his prophet. And so very, very difficult to deal with those people, as we had on the program Friday, my friend who said, and I've gone blank, I can't believe I've gone blank on his name, but anyway, he said, you know, you can't solve a religious war politically because it's not coming on the same plane. It's not going to make sense, and so you can't do it that way, and you have to know going into it, hey, this is, they're coming at it from a different viewpoint. And so anything that I would say that makes sense is not going to make sense to them. They'd be like, so what? We're in this for a higher purpose. We're, you know, deceived, thinking that they're serving God by killing Jews and killing Christians and killing any that would not knuckle under. And so when you have people like that, Gary Frazier. Now, I was having a senior moment, as my friend Olin Owens likes to say. I hit a slick spot. Gary Frazier. Gary was on the program on Friday, and we were talking about that. And he's exactly right. You're not going to be able to come up with a political solution to a religious problem, and it's a religious problem. The devil is involved in the conflict there between Israel and all the Muslim Arab neighbors. And so we need to be praying. Well, also on over the weekend, you may have watched the U.S. Open golf tournament, and J.J. Spaun, he won at Oakmont, and it was cool to see him with his wife and his two little girls there, and what a dramatic way that he won it. He sealed the deal. He didn't just kind of backdoor into the victory. On the 18th green, he hit a long, I think a 64-foot putt, and nailed it for the win at one under par on a very, very difficult course. The rough was like hitting out of a cabbage patch, and those guys were getting very upset. You know, pros don't like it when they're shooting in the high 70s and 80s because the situation is just so tough. You know, I mean, I don't care how good you are, if your ball is buried in the weeds and they're 5 inches tall, you're going to have trouble getting it out of there and having any control on it. But as somebody likes to play golf, I was excited to watch that guy and to watch the down the stretch and the back and forth, and to see him win was really, really cool. Well, Sunday was Father's Day. I had a great Father's Day personally. And we had a great Father's Day at church. I had mentioned this verse in my prayer over the dads yesterday, but it's worth repeating, where the Lord says this in 1 Corinthians 16:13, be on the alert, stand firm in the faith, act like men, be strong, let all that you do be done in love. A man is to be tough and tender, a husband, a dad. He's to be tough. He stands firm in the faith. He's on the alert. He's wide awake spiritually. And he's a man. He's strong. He's fulfilling his God-given roles as the provider of the home, the protector of his wife and children. But he's also tender. He's tough and tender. Let all that you do be done in love. Now, we have, as you've heard me say before on the program, we have Thursdays dedicated to men at First Baptist Texarkana. We have a program called Strong Foundations that meets early in the morning, 6:15 in the morning on Thursday mornings, and it's for young husbands and young dads to help those guys, encourage those guys to be the leaders and the men and the husbands and the dads that God wants them to be. They're right in the thick of it. When you're raising little kids, you are in the trenches, so to speak. It is difficult. That's a hard time in life. And typically, a young family, the money situation can be tight, and the stresses with raising little kids, we're seeing that firsthand in my middle daughter, with their three boys, Jack, who's not yet 4 years old, and Chase, who's two, and Drew, who's 4 months old. I mean, it's just 24/7 over there. I mean, they have to be on top of it. Those little boys are into everything. They're exhausting. They're cute as can be, but they are exhausting. And so we want to build into dads that are in the thick of it like that, and tell them, hey, what you are doing a good work. Support your wife, because your wife's job is so very hard, and work together as a team, and keep your eyes on Jesus and trust him for the grace and strength and the provision that you need. And so that's on Thursday mornings. Then on Thursday at lunch, we just have it wide open. We call it Man Up. And it's just for any guy that wants to grow in this thing called biblical manhood, and to be tough and to be tender, because it's important. Now, one of the things I was reading today, how the Democrats are working to woo back the young men back to the Democrat Party. They're saying, hey, we're losing these young men, and we need to get these guys back. And so they're investing all this money to try and win them back. And this was an article that I ran across. Democratic Party scrambles to fix image as members acknowledge the party has lost credibility. And so they're doing all they can to come up with, a way to fix their image. But they don't realize, and you've probably heard this, many have said it, they don't get it. They don't know why they lost the election. They try and say, well, it's because the country is misogynistic, the country is racist, the country's this, that, and the other. And they never just look in the mirror. Bill Maher's called them out. Hey, look in the mirror. You have policies, and you support things that the rest of the country doesn't support. These are 90-10 issues or 80-20 issues, and you're on the 10% side. You're on the 20% side. America doesn't support having biological men play in female sports. And if you're going to hold to that position, well, you're going to lose, because that is a losing position. And, other things like that they just hold to and cling to. They have no plan for what's going on in our country. All they can do is protest. All they can do is say, well, whatever Donald Trump says, we hate it. And that's the answer to everything. I saw the governors that were there before Congress, and Tim Walz was being asked questions about things, and his answer is always, well, let me talk about Donald Trump, and Trump does this, and Trump does that, and Trump does the other. It's like, well, let's leave Trump out of it. Let's talk about what you're doing and what you have done and how you allowed Minnesota to burn during those riots and how you abandoned the police station and just gave it over to the rioters. I believe it was Ronald Reagan when they had an uprising at Cal Berkeley and when he was governor of California. And he went and he was very stern with the leadership at that school. He said, you don't give up your school to a bunch of malcontents, and you stand up to them and you conduct yourself in a way that would lead to law and order. If you don't, you have chaos, you have anarchy. Now, as you know, there have been violent protests in LA, and they were saying that, Mayor Bass and Gavin Newsom, I believe Gavin Newsom is the worst governor in the history of governors. That's just my opinion. You might have a different one. Maybe he's second worst. Hey, that guy's just terrible. And he lies through his teeth as he accuses other people of lying. It's just amazing. Now, Governor or President Trump never called me. Well, then he showed the record on his phone. I called you and talked to you for 16 minutes. I still haven't heard him get called on the carpet about that. Why did you lie about that? But they lie, lie, lie. And so we were having and have been having these problems in LA, and the liberal leadership said, well, it's all because of ICE. It's because Trump called in the National Guard. If he hadn't done that, then everything would have been just wonderful. But they've escalated the problem. Well, Kristi Noem, as you know, the head of Homeland Security, she was having a press conference there. And one of the state lawmakers, he came in and he had to be escorted out and arrested, and then they make a big deal out of that. How dare they? I mean, what kind of country are we living in? Well, you don't just get to barge in on a press conference and demand your way and act like everybody should just, you know, go along with what you're doing. They didn't know who he was, and so they acted correctly and they arrested him. But this is what Kristi Noem, when she was getting all these, well, you shouldn't be doing this and ICE shouldn't be doing this, here was her response.
My only question to you, I'd say a question back to you, is which laws in the United States should be enforced and which ones shouldn't? I mean, now my job, here's the deal, guys. My job is not to pick and choose which laws we enforce and which ones we don't. We have laws in this country, and they matter. If you want the law changed, go to Congress. When's the last time you went to Capitol Hill and told your senator or representative to change it? That's what they need to do. This is the perfect time for Congress to make a decision on how they want people in this country to be able to have an opportunity to come here legally and to fix this. We, as law enforcement officers and as a National Security Department and agency, my job is to uphold the law, and that's what I will continue to do.
I thought that was a great answer. You know, that the person that was giving her the question couldn't really answer that. Well, which laws are we supposed to observe, and which ones are we supposed to just turn a blind eye to? I'm a law enforcement officer, and we're going to enforce the law. And that's what ICE does. And if you're here in the country illegally, well, that's a problem because you've broken our laws. And so ICE is going to do its job. And that's what the people that voted for Donald Trump, that's what we voted for. And why did we vote for that? Because that makes America safer. Well, I was thinking about an interview. It was actually a panel that Jordan Peterson was on, and they were being asked questions by a bunch of students and others that were there at this panel. And one girl asked kind of a nasty question to Jordan Peterson. You know, Jordan Peterson is a guy who says, Dr. Jordan Peterson, psychologist, he says, hey, take care of the things that you can take care of before you start trying to fix the world. What we see a lot in these protests and with so many that are activists, and they're always jumping on the bandwagon, oh, I'm against this, I'm against that, I'm against this other, and, you know, I'm pro-Palestine, and then they go crazy with, what we need is an intifada, wipe out the Jews from the river to the sea. That's what all that stuff means. They don't really understand what it means, and we have all these uprisings on college campuses, and it's going back to the Ronald Reagan quote when he was governor. Hey, you don't give up your school to a bunch of rabble-rousers and people that are wanting to just take over and cause trouble and upset the apple cart. You have to have law and order. Can people disagree? Yes, but they need to do it in an agreeable way. They don't have to blow everything up to disagree. Well, so Jordan Peterson is asked this question by this girl that said, you know, your answers to these problems like climate change and all these other things that are big problems, your answers are just banal. They're just make your bed. She said that doesn't fix the issue. And so here's how Jordan Peterson responded to that.
Try answering the question about collective responsibility on climate change, for example. Pick one part of that, because the argument, I think, is that individual responsibility does not change the climate, does not fix the problem that needs global collective responsibility. So I think that's the core of the question. Do you have a theory about that?
Well, fundamentally, I'm a psychologist, and my experience has been that people can do a tremendous amount of good for themselves and for the people who are immediately around them by looking to their own inadequacies and their own flaws and the things that they're not doing in their lives and starting to build themselves up as more powerful individuals. And if they're capable of doing that, and then they're capable of expanding their career. And if they're capable of expanding their career and their competence, then they're capable of taking their place in the community as effective leaders. And then they're capable of making wise decisions instead of unwise decisions when it comes to making collective political decisions. I'm not suggesting in the least, and have never suggested, that there's no domain for social action. I'm suggesting that people who don't have their own houses in order should be very careful before they go about reorganizing the world, which happens in many ways.
If a young person believes that the climate, the global warming problem on the climate is something that needs to be tackled quickly, and they can't wait until they grow up and become prime ministers to do it, do you think collective responsibility overrides individual responsibility in a huge issue like that?
No.
Okay.
I don't. Okay. I think generally people have things that are more within their personal purview that are more difficult to deal with and that they're avoiding, and that generally the way they avoid them is by adopting pseudo-moralistic stances on large-scale social issues so that they look good to their friends and their neighbors. That's what it looks like.
Excellent response, in my opinion. I think that Jordan Peterson is spot on. Hey, clean up your own life before you start trying to fix the world. And what you'll find with so many of these activists, they don't have a job other than being a professional protester. Well, that's not a job. That's a destructive thing. But they always want to tell you how you're doing things wrong when they're doing nothing. It is maddening, and we need to get back to individual responsibility. Well, when we come back from the break, we'll be taking your calls, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. If you have a question or a comment, I'd love to hear from you. So give me a call, and let's talk.
The month of June has been hijacked by the anti-Christian culture to show their pride in something God calls an abomination. When you support AFR, you help us continue to stand for godly values and provide the resources for you to stay in the know about the enemy's tactics. To say thank you for your gift this month, we'll give you the booklet, Inside the LGBTQ Push of the 1990s, to help strengthen your convictions. Just go to afr.net/offers. afr.net/offers.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email PastorJeff@FromHisHeart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. We are opening the phone lines, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. If you have a question or a comment, I would love to hear from you. Hey, if you want to give a shout out, even though it's a day past Father's Day, a shout out to your dad, that would be cool too. And so the phone lines are open, and we have Daniel on the line from Texas. Daniel, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Good morning. Listen, I listen to you quite a bit. Let me ask you a question.
Okay.
Now, during the rapture, we're all going to get, if you're saved, you're going to be out of here during the rapture. Mm-hmm. What is your answer for the kids who are unaccountable, the young kids? Are they going up with us?
For little kids that hadn't made a decision yet?
Right.
Yeah.
Are they going up with us?
Yeah, great question. It's kind of the argument from silence. The Bible doesn't say the Lord comes back for his own. Those who believe that that babies are just under the grace of God and little ones are under the grace of God, then in that framework, they would all be raptured out too. And I remember seeing somebody write something about, you know, at the rapture, people are going to be wondering, where did all the babies go? So people have said that, God in his goodness will provide for those little ones. And if mom and dad were going to be gone, I know, like in my middle daughter's situation, well, Jack at 4 and Chase at 2 and Drew at 4 months, if they were raptured out of here, those guys wouldn't live very long by themselves. And so I think you can make the case that God will provide for those little ones by his grace. And, you know, the thinking that there is an age or a state of accountability where people are covered by God's grace until they reach the state where they know the difference between good or evil. If you hold to that view, then you would say, yes, they would all be raptured out also, and they would be covered under God's grace. I think that the problem that I have, Daniel, with that view, and I'm not saying I don't believe in it, but it just doesn't make sense to me, because then the greatest thing that could happen, I mean, what I want for my kids and my grandkids is for them to be in heaven forever. And if you can ensure that because they die before they hit that age or that state of accountability, then it would make sense to kill them, and which is obviously wrong. And so it doesn't wash. God knows what everyone is going to do. He knows the end from the beginning. He knows what people are going to do before they do it. And so God knows if people will trust him and if they won't trust him. And he knows that. He knew that about me before I was ever born. And so I look at it from that standpoint that God is going to judge righteously. And it's not just, well, anybody that dies before the age of 5, they immediately go to heaven. I have a little bit of trouble with that one. But I think that probably if I had to come up with an answer to that question, Daniel, because the Bible doesn't say, I would say that they probably get raptured with the bride. Where do you fall on that?
I feel the same way. You know, I can't see a young child being left here when parents are gone. You know, I mean, what's he going to do? You know,
right?
And that's what I look at. You know, all my kids are grown. My grandkids are at that age, you know. But I was just thinking about that the other day, and I thought I'd give you a call.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate that. It's a good question, Daniel. And, you know, the Bible doesn't tell us all those kind of some of the intricacies of things. We just know that you always can trust. God is a good God. He is more loving than I can imagine. He's more gracious, more compassionate than I can fathom. And so shall not, as Abraham said to God, shall not the judge of all the earth deal justly? And he will. And he will do what's right. So we can trust him with that. But great question. I appreciate your call. Appreciate you listening to the program. Well, we have my friend Lisa Bowden from Arkansas on the line. I did the wedding for Lisa and John so many years ago. How many years ago was that, Lisa?
It'll be 25 July the 8th.
Wow. Man. How wonderful.
Yeah, so it's been over 25 years. I hope I can do this without crying. It's been over 25 years since you led John to Christ. Mm. And I just wanted to say how grateful I am. You would be so proud of him, of the man he is, of the godly leader he is, of the godly leader he is at our church, how well he leads our family. And I just wanted to say thank you.
That is so special. Well, you know, you guys were here how many years ago with the girls? 5 years ago or so?
Oh, gosh, it's been probably 10.
Has that been that long?
Yeah.
It was wonderful to get to meet your girls, and you have such a wonderful family. So that means a lot to me, Lisa. Well, thank you for calling in with that.
very grateful to you and Debbie for the leadership you gave us so long ago, and love your show. I don't miss it. We don't miss it every single day. So hopefully we'll get down there to say hi again soon.
Yes. Well, I hope so. And God bless you guys. And tell John and the girls I said hello.
I will. Thank you, Jeff.
Thanks, Lisa. Bye-bye. All right. We have our friend Jay on the line from Texas. Jay, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Hi, Jeff. I've been struggling trying to find some information on safe havens during the tribulation for believers. I've come across a little blurb here about Edom and another about Jordan. I know the woman that gives birth to Christ is lifted off like on eagle wings and taken to a place where she'll be taken care of for the rest of the tribulation. But what's been taught about that in seminary? I mean, what do you have to say about that?
Well, the only thing I've really heard about that, and that's a good question, Jay, is people escaping to Petra in Jordan, and that God will make a way for them. And Revelation 12 is the passage where it says, but the two wings of the great eagle were given to the woman so that she could fly into the wilderness to her place where she was nourished for a time and times and half a time. And so that is the 3.5 years, the great tribulation, from the presence of the serpent. And the serpent poured water like a river out of his mouth after the woman so that he might cause her to be swept away with the flood. But the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened its mouth and drank up the river which the dragon poured out of his mouth. The Lord is going to preserve a remnant during the tribulation period, and a remnant from Israel. And the 144,000, Revelation 7, that have the seal of God on their forehead, 12,000 from every tribe, he's going to preserve them. And probably, maybe not all of those will be will escape from death, but many of those will. And God will see to it. There are going to be both Jews and Gentiles, mortals that have not been glorified, that make it through the tribulation period. And he will he'll repopulate the earth during the millennial kingdom through those who make it through. And so we can be assured of that. But I, to my knowledge, the Bible doesn't give us a lot of detail on what we might call, to use the term from the left, a sanctuary city or a place of refuge for them. But God will have some places that they can flee to, and he will see to it that they are protected. But it's a great question, Jay. I appreciate the way your mind works, and you ask deep questions. And so keep it up, my friend.
Thank you very much, Jeff.
Thank you, brother. Well, we have Shelley on the line from Texas. Shelley, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Thank you. I just wanted to report I had a chance to make a sign that said, Jesus is my king and DJ Trump is our president, and take it to the rally, the No Kings rally in my county. Lots of observations. The pro-Trump people were across the street, and I chose to go to the loony crowd and stand there with them. And one of the things that was just palpable was how truly confused they are. There was a couple behind me, and the woman had a sign, "No more hate." And the man had a sign, "We hate Trump." really confused. They sent a contingent of three big men to me to say, "What does your Bible have to say about how we're supposed to treat the sojourners?" And I said, "Well, one of the things that's clear in my Bible is that countries, nations are required by Scripture to maintain their borders." Mm-hmm. And they weren't prepared for me to be prepared with an answer, and mm-hmm. so they just kind of disappeared into yeah. the crowd. One of the other things that I noticed is that the pro-Trump people were across the street. There weren't very many of them, and they were shouting angrily at the No Kings people, And it made that made me sad because that's completely counterproductive.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that I did that I think caused them to show me favor is I took my big dog with me, and she's just a real sweetheart. And so after they challenged me on the Bible, after that, they left me alone except to ask me if they could pet my dog.
Well, good for you, Shelley, on that. Yeah, it's not, I mean, it doesn't help at all for the others to, you know, the pro-Trump crowd to hurl abuse at the anti-Trump crowd. I appreciate you having the courage to go over there because for a lot of people, they'd be like, oh, I don't know about that. No, who knows what they'll do? But you're right. It's a, you know, the term TDS, Trump Derangement Syndrome, is really, it's really a accurate term. That's what people have. They can't see straight. End all the hate. We hate Donald Trump. You know, this idea, those things don't, they're not congruent. But, you know, it's just explained in Romans chapter 1. It says, and just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, God gave them over to a depraved mind, a reprobate mind, to do those things which are not proper. And then it goes into a list. They're filled with all unrighteousness, wickedness, greed, evil, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, arrogant, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, without understanding, untrustworthy, unloving, unmerciful. And I think that's what you have today. You have people that are just, they've rejected God, and God has given them over to a mind that doesn't function anymore. And they can't, as Governor Walz was asked by one of the congressmen or congresswomen, what is a woman? I don't understand the question. She's like, yeah, no kidding, you don't. They can't answer basic things because their minds don't function anymore. And professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. They became morons. Moros is the Greek word where we get our English word moron. And we have a lot of educated morons today, and so many who are protesting don't even know, they don't know any of the basic facts. They don't know what they're protesting. As one guy, when he was interviewed, he said, I don't know, they gave me this list. He was just a professional protester. He was getting paid $10 or $15 an hour, whatever it was, to protest. This was a couple of weeks ago when they were protesting Tesla. And so it's just insane. But hats off to you for being there and for standing up for the truth and being armed to be ready to answer that question about the sojourner and the foreigner. So God bless you, Shelley. And we have Troy from Virginia on the phone. Troy, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Hey, good morning, Jeff. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing well. How are you, Troy?
Great, sir. I just have a question that David just answered before, about the rapture and living in heaven forever. And I want to know, as a Bible student like yourself, Ms. Brother Jeff, where is it says that we're going to live in heaven forever?
Well, it says that we're going to be with the Lord forever. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, which is the classic rapture passage, it says, for this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will not precede those who are fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we shall always be with the Lord. You know, the idea, Troy, of eternal life, that Jesus gives eternal life, that's life with him that never ends. And so what you have in the book of the Revelation, when you get to chapters 21 and 22, that's the eternal state where the Lord makes a new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells, and we are there with him forever and ever, and his servants see his face, and he wipes away every tear from our eyes. And the Bible says there will no longer be any death, there will no longer be any mourning or crying or pain. The first things have passed away. and we live forever with God. That's the end of the story, and the story has a great, great ending. But I appreciate the question. I appreciate you calling. Roger, I'm sorry we didn't get to you, and Mary, we didn't get to you, but thanks for listening to the program. Thanks for calling in today. Hey, go out, shine for Christ, and share what great things the Lord has done for you, and know this, God will use you as His witness. God bless you.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.